have a little message this morning I feel inspired to bring. Trust that it'll be a challenge to each one. I'd like to preface the message this morning with five instructive verses in Proverbs, the 24th chapter. Proverbs 24 and 30 says, I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it, received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Well, this is a sad, avoidable account. And I want to say this morning, I don't know why everybody comes to church. I don't know why everybody comes to church service. I'm not sure all of the reasons why people profess Christianity. I think of that verse sometimes where I think it was Jesus that said about John the Baptist, what'd you go out to see? When you went out there to see John the Baptist, what'd you go out there to see? Did you go out there to see a reed shaking in the wind? Did you go out to see a man that was clothed in soft raiment? Said, behold, those that are appeared gorgeously and live delicately, they're over there in king's courts. Well, we don't have that to offer in our church services. You know, we're not promoting delicate living. We're not promoting gorgeous apparel. We're not here to appeal to the finer things of life of this world that appeal to the flesh. So why do people come? Why do you come to church? Not everybody that went out to see John the Baptist went out to get something for their soul. Not everybody that went out there, that's not what they are necessarily looking for. A lot of them were going out there to cause trouble, some of them. So why is it that we come to church service? And then we read about the field of the slothful, and we read about things that can crop up and come in and over time cause you to be in real trouble, to be in poverty. We have real live business that we need to do with the Lord. There's a reason we should come to church. There's a reason we should seek out those that can minister to us the gospel truth. There's a reason we should come before the Lord looking for help to our spirit and our soul to understand how we should live so that when we get to the end of the way, and there's a knock at our door, and it's the Lord, that we're ready to go, and that we can say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. So may God help us today to take care of business that matters. Because I want to be aware. I want to have understanding, and I want to be aware of those things that would come in and attend to my business, like the thorns and the nettles and the weeds and this rock wall that slowly starts breaking down. I want to understand when it starts to happen. I don't want to wake up one day and find that my life is all overgrown. I don't want to wake up one day and find that the church history that I know and the knowledge that I have and my history of going to church, those things that are solid, they're needful, they're there for a reason, but I don't want to wake up one day and find that it had been for naught, that it's all grown over and there's nothing left for me, and I'm left in a state of poverty. And so, I have a message this morning that that I pray that all of us would be able to embrace and get a hold of. And I'd like to turn to the 12th chapter of Luke. And I guess my burden is not just to the young people, to all of us, but I have the young people in my mind. We got a number here this morning. In the 12th chapter of Luke, in the 15th verse, it said, "And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Well, we covet a lot of things. And a lot of times when we read this verse and you think about the word covet, don't we often think about tangible things that we covet, that we would like to have that we don't have? And if it's not a tangible something, it's position or recognition or reputation or material things. And people covet those things. And we know the story that comes after this of the rich man, and he spoke of material things. But there's a lot of things we covet. We covet our own way. Preach a message on that. We covet strongly having our own way. And it can get us into trouble. And our lives don't consist on us always having our own way. Our life is not all about me. In fact, it's mostly not about me. It's about me serving Jesus Christ and fulfilling His will. But we can get in a rut of feeling like, well, it's my life. And we can begin to covet our own way for those things that pertain to me, thinking that it's okay because it's me. We say, well, it doesn't affect anybody else, it's just me. But then when we don't get our own way, then it becomes difficult for us. Well, we covet that too. But these things aren't what I'm necessarily thinking about this morning. I'm thinking about coveting something that's the absence of something. Have you ever coveted not having something? That's what I'm thinking about today. And I've written it on the board. The absence of spiritual accountability. Did you know that we can covet? We can strongly desire not having to feel spiritually accountable. We'd like to be able to feel a lot of times where I don't have to feel accountable to something. I just want to live my life. I just want to go somewhere, and I don't want anybody to look at me for direction. I don't want to be the one that other people are depending on. And when it comes to spiritual things, if I'm accountable to Jesus Christ, well, that starts to affect my whole life, doesn't it? We can covet these kind of things, and we can always find reasons. I say this often, there's always good reasons. I mean, we always find what we call our good reasons to not be accountable. Well, I'm too young. You know, I mean, there's other folks that have been down this road. I'll let them do it. Well, I'm just one of many. There's a lot of other people. I'm not as good as the next guy. Maybe I should just let the next guy do it because they can pray better than I can. They can witness better than I can. They can speak better than I can. They're better leaders than I am. And they can be a better example and reach the world. We just draw in. And there's always reasons that we can have everybody else be the ones that are accountable but ourselves. And here's one. Well, it's not that big of a deal. You know, I mean, where I go, how I dress, what I listen to, what I look at, I mean, it's not that big of a deal. Isn't it easy to think that sometimes when it's something that we really want? It's something we don't want to let go of. Something that appeals to our flesh. And the enemy is right there to whisper in our ear, well, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, doesn't have to be a heart issue. As long as you keep your heart right, it's not that big of a deal. I want to tell you something. You can fill your plate up with things that are not that big of a deal. And your lives can be consumed with things that are not that big of a deal, quote unquote. Where you spend your time, what you look at, what you listen to, how you present yourself, what your priorities are in life, your hobbies, and they may not be sin. I say this a lot of times. You can fill your plate with full of non-sinful items and squeeze the Lord right out of it. Well, it's not sin. Well, it's not that big of a deal. Well, God knows my heart. Well, people make, too much of this. And then over time, you wake up and you find that poverty is knocked at your door because you miss the fact that these little things that started growing up, getting in places that were supposed to be tight and keep things out, they start breaking down. And so we like to be in a place in our flesh where we find reasons where we don't have to be accountable to that. I don't want to have to come face to face with the fact that maybe the Lord's saying, you ought to lay this thing down. Maybe you ought to pick this thing up. And we feel better if we can say, well, I don't know. I don't really think must not be the Lord, because this really isn't that big of a deal. And so-and-so can do better at this than I can. And if we can become numb to the leadings of the Spirit, to the preached Word of God, then it seems like we can live our life more at peace. Because we don't have to feel the guilt and the accountability and the responsibility. Have you ever been there? Haven't we all? I mean, isn't it kind of, okay, I don't have to worry about that. Somebody else can. Well, you can live at peace for a while, but eventually it comes up. It catches up with you. But unfortunately, people then live like there's always going to be tomorrow and an opportunity for change. Is there anyone here that does not think that we're going to see tomorrow? I don't know what you think. I'm just going to be honest with you. I think I'm probably going to see tomorrow. And tomorrow, I'm probably going to think that I'm going to see another tomorrow. And the next day, I'm going to think, well, I'm probably going to see next week. I mean, right now, I'm planning not just for tomorrow. I've got plans for in the next, foreseeable weeks and months. And if we're not careful, we can live when we start feeling conviction, or the Lord touches a place in our life and he shows us an area that, you might be better to leave that alone. This might be a good time to pick this up. You might be able to be a better witness for me if you would do this. Come, draw nigh to me. Come a little closer. And it's really easy, if we're not careful, to start thinking, well, maybe tomorrow. And if you're young, it feels like you have less accountability, spiritual accountability, because life's way out ahead of you. And then there's the older ones that are the leaders and the spiritual, lighthouses. And I'm just a kid. I'm just young. I'm just a teenager. I got life out ahead of me. And it's not that big of a deal. And there'll be opportunity for change. I want to say something this morning. There will be a tomorrow. It just may not be accompanied with the opportunity to change. That tomorrow may never end. It may just extend right on out throughout eternity. There'll be another time, but it may be when time ends. And there's not always going to be an opportunity for change. Back to how poverty comes as one that traveleth. Slowly but surely, one day follows another day, and days turn into weeks and months and years. And you wake up one day and you look out your window and your wall isn't what it was. You looked at a picture when it was built and then you look out the window. That's not how that was supposed to be. How did that happen? And the worst case scenario is when poverty arrives at your door and knocks. And you've allowed yourself to be numb to the dealings of the Holy Spirit. You allowed yourself to have an absence of spiritual accountability in your life, and it then follows you throughout life, and then you face God. And when you're young and you're making some of the most critical decisions of your lives, who you marry, what habits you form, what you become comfortable with and how you present yourself to the world, what you listen to, these are habits that get ingrained and it becomes values and beliefs that then affect the way that you think, and the way you think affects how you act, and then there's consequences to how you act. They always follow. Consequences always follow. It's a blessing from God to feel pricked in your spirit. Conviction is your friend. Feeling spiritually accountable, having that feeling or that spirit that rests upon you, where you start to feel like, I feel like I might be accountable here. That's good. It might be uncomfortable, but it's good, and it's your friend, and you should embrace it. Because if you become numb to it, there's bad consequences that happen. When all of a sudden you don't feel accountable, and you don't feel convicted, and then you can just carefree, careless go through life and say, well, I don't feel bad about it. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't feel convicted about it, and you might not. But you might should. You might have used to. You've heard about people that have leprosy, right? In the Bible, it talks about those that had leprosy. I don't know a lot about leprosy, but I've read a little bit about it. Leprosy is a bacterial infection. And some people had leprosy worse than other people. There were some strains that affected people worse than others. And it's treatable today. If you get leprosy, they've figured out how to treat that bacterial infection. And it's curable. But back in the day, when we read about it in the scriptures, leprosy was like the kiss of death and the kiss of social separation. You know, no one wanted to be around a leper because it's contagious too. It's contagious. And so, and it numbs the limbs. And this is a little, you know, stomach turning, but you read about it, and they would put these lepers in leper colonies. They even had leprosy hospitals, and they weren't as clean as some of our places are today to dwell. And in some cases, rats and mice were in the air, and you go to sleep, and the rats and the mice could eat on you. Eat on your limbs, and you don't ever know it because you don't feel it. And whenever you get around to looking at your foot and you find a piece of your foot's gone, you go, I didn't know that was happening. Just because you didn't feel it doesn't mean that it wasn't something serious that was just taking place while you were asleep. You just had part of you taken away. If you're walking and there's a rock stuck between your foot and your shoe, and you're walking miles like they did back then, and is it grinding away? Well, it's nice not to feel the pain, but it's not nice when you get to the end of the way and take your shoes off and find a big hole in your foot. Now, these are real things, see? This happened to people that had leprosy. We say, well, I'm glad I don't have leprosy. Do you not have leprosy? Do we not have spiritual leprosy? Where we can get numb. You know, doctors, the medical field, they've learned how to deaden us to our pain so that they can affect operations on us in a comfortable way, so that we don't have to feel the pain of the procedure. We only have to feel what is generally comfortable, that we can live with. The enemy is doing his level best to get us numb to the dealings of the Spirit, to feeling an absence of spiritual accountability so that he can affect a procedure on our lives without us ever feeling it, until we wake up one day and we find, what, I'm missing part of my foot? Where'd my finger go? What happened? How did my life get like this? Slowly but surely, as one that traveleth, poverty comes. What happened? You can't get it back. When that peace is gone, it's gone. And the worst time to find it out is when there's a knock on your door and you're still young. And you had a car accident and you didn't know. You didn't know you were going to meet the Lord today. I thought I had time. I thought I had a lot of time left. I didn't. Now the things that seemed like, oh, that's not a big deal. Now all of it seems, now it seems a big deal. Because it is a big deal. And now your eyes are opened and you look down and you're missing fingers and foots and pieces of your limb. You can't get around like you're supposed to. And you didn't even know, you didn't know what was happening because you allowed it to be that way. And people today are doing the same thing. They're allowing these sorts of things to happen. We hear, but we're not listening. I don't know why everyone comes to church. I hope you listen when you come. When the Holy Spirit deals with your life, when you read the Scriptures, it's more than just about, okay, I read for 10 minutes this morning, got that checked off. I went to church, got that done. We gotta listen. We have to do more than just hear what's said. We gotta listen. It involves more than just showing up. You gotta be here. There's some people that may be present this morning, but they're not here. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever talked with somebody like that? You know, or you're talking to them, and all of a sudden you realize, where are you? I thought I was talking to you. I just realized you're not here. That's a bad thing if it's the Lord's the one talking to you. The Lord's trying to get something across. He's trying to save your life. He's trying to warn you of the rats and the mice that are closing in. He said, whoa, you got something right here that you need to attend to, because if you don't, you might lose it. Well, it's your choice. You want to be known? You want to not feel the pain? You know, these people wear these t-shirts in the gym that says pain is good. And what they mean is that if you feel no pain, you're probably not working your muscles. I mean, if I lift and it never hurts and I don't feel any pain and I'm never sore, I'm probably not growing anything. Do you feel any spiritual pain? Spiritual pain is good in this sense of the word. Where you feel convicted. You go, maybe I shouldn't do these things. Maybe I should change my lifestyle. Maybe I should set that down. Maybe it's a bigger deal than what I think. Maybe there's a reason why those that have gone down this path before me, and they've already been down this road, and they say, that's a big deal, you should be careful of that. Maybe I should listen to it. Because if you don't, and the Lord stops dealing with us because He respects what you want to do, you might just find out that you can't walk anymore. You might find your life is a mess You wake up one day and you find that what you thought you had, you didn't have anymore. And the walls that were supposed to be there to protect you from the wiles of the enemy are broken down, and things got into your life and consumed you. People say, well, I want freedom. I just want freedom. I want to be able to live how I want to live. And I just want to be free. I want to take the wall down and the fence. You can have freedom if you want. I mean, there's lions out there, if you call that freedom. If you want to go on the other side of the fence, cross standards and protections of holiness and safeguards that we put in place to keep the bad things out and the good things in, and you want to break it down because you want to have freedom, you can do that, but there's lions out there. Just be prepared for them. They'll eat you. You like that kind of freedom? I don't. Let me have the law of protection. Let me feel when the Lord says, you better back off. That's not a good place to be. I'd rather be there than out there where the dogs are out there ready to devour me. It's important to not just hear, but to listen. It's important when you come to church, not just to be present, but to be here in spirit. It's important to exercise and apply the knowledge that you have, that you've been given. It's important. And young people, you're building a foundation for the rest of your life that sometimes ruts are hard to get out of. You dig some ruts, you get in the ruts, you're used to living a certain way, going certain places, dressing certain ways, partaking of certain things, listening to certain things, filling your time with certain things, and it starts having an influence and an effect. You can tell yourself, all night, it's just a little thing. Poverty comes as one that travels. Back then, it was slowly. But they did make time, and eventually they arrived. Delaying with no sense of urgency. Well, there'll be a tomorrow. Are you sure? Are you sure there's going to be a tomorrow? There's a scripture in Matthew, I think the 11th chapter. Matthew, the 11th chapter, and it speaks of, they said there was piping that took place, but nobody danced. Yeah. If you're going to dance, you wouldn't do it most of the time when everybody's crying. That's not the time to dance. If you're going to dance, it's going to be when there's piping that takes place. If you're going to do that. But the scripture said, we piped, but you didn't dance. We mourned, but there was no lamenting. If there ever was a time to lament, it's when there's mourning that's taking place. That's not the time you start dancing. If you're ever going to be moved to lament, it's when there's mourning that's going on. But he said, you didn't. Piped, didn't dance, mourned, didn't lament. Problem. Why? Piping happened, mourning happened, no dancing, no lamenting. If there ever was a time to make changes in our life, to respond, it's when the Spirit deals with your life. It's when you feel spiritual accountability. It's when conviction comes. Young folks, it's when you sit in the services and the Lord touches something in your life. If there ever was a time to make change, that's the time to make it, because there'll come a time when that conviction's not there. And if the conviction's not there, why would you change then? What makes you think that you're going to make changes? Well, when I get older. Well, what makes you think that when you get older, that's going to be the time that you feel convicted to make? You may be so tangled up with the mess that you've created that now you have a whole other set of things you've got to worry about. Yeah. Embrace conviction. Yes. Embrace spiritual accountability when you're young, when you're teenagers, when you're making the most important decisions of your life. Ask the Lord, Lord, please convict me. Lord, help me to feel uncomfortable. Lord, if there's things in my life that you're not pleased with, help me not to be asleep to it. Help me to be awake. Help me to understand what's happening so that I don't wake up and my finger's gone. And my toe's gone. And I got a hole where I didn't want there to be a hole. I don't want to become numb to it. And yet, I feel like that there are many people, millions of people that are being thrown out into eternity and the judgment arrives, and I can hear him saying, well, I didn't know this was going to happen. Well, I didn't know that it was going to happen today. I thought I had time. Well, I didn't know this was that big of a deal. I just thought maybe it wouldn't be a big, showstopper. I didn't hear this coming. I didn't see this coming. Woe unto them that are asleep in Zion. Don't think just because you walk through those back doors and that you've grown up in Christian homes, that you dwell in Zion, that you're an Israelite, that everything is going to be okay with you. It's a personal walk. We've got to be awake, aware of the danger that's at hand, embracing conviction, embracing the things that are uncomfortable to us. If you feel like there's a little rock in your shoe, do you just say, well, it's just a little rock. It's just not a big thing. I'll just go ahead and walk this hike with that. No. You may think it's a little rock, but you're going to stop and get it out because you don't want to go down through life with that rock in there. That's going to make an unpleasant hike down the road. Yes. You get it out of there. If you don't, pretty soon it's like, well, I feel something on the back side and I feel something in the front side too. And pretty soon you got all kinds of little things going on. And then by the time you finally say, I better do something, you're damaged. You're hurt. You can move them out, but there's consequences to it. Your foot's bleeding. I want to be awake. I want to be awake to the danger that's coming. There's a lot of stories, and we won't turn and read to them. But do you remember the story of Barak, Sisera, and Jael in Judges? Barak, he was in the time when Deborah was the judge, and there was the Israelites didn't have a king at the time, but they had a judge, and they had been punished. The Lord had given them into the hand of their enemies, but now the Lord was ready to deliver them. And he told Barak, you go down there and I'm going to give Sisera into your hand. So he went after Sisera, and so Sisera takes off and he goes running and he comes to the tent of Jael. And he thought that everything would be okay with Jael, and he went into the tent and he said, now if anyone comes by, you tell him that nobody's in here. And she put a blanket over his head, and he was tired. She gave him a little bit of milk too. Just kind of comforting. Here, just lay down right here. We'll just put a blanket over the top of you. And it said he was sleepy. So he drank his milk, pulled the blanket over his head, and went to sleep. And she took a nail and a hammer. And by the time she got done, his head was fastened to the ground. Asleep to the danger that was right there in front of him. Should have been more careful. Felt good to just lay down, not feel like he needed to be so watchful. Just let it roll for a while. Take in something that feels good to the stomach, go to sleep. Lost his life over it. This parable that follows in the 12th chapter of Luke, of the ground of the rich man, he had all these dreams and ideas of how it was going to turn out. And then he got to the very climax of when it was all going to come together. And there was a knock at his door. Well, who's that? And it was the Lord. He said, you fool, this night your soul's going to be required of you. Now what? Now all these things that you thought was so important, all these things that you were going to do, what about those things now? This night your soul's going to be required of you. Would it change anything if you knew when the Lord was going to knock on your door in your life? It shouldn't, but would it? If If I could go over here and open that window right there and have these special binoculars, and I looked out the window and I looked way down the road and I saw my own angel of death walking. Well, there he is. He's coming for me. Well, he looks like he's a little ways away. And then the next morning I go and I open the window and I look and he's a little bit closer. And I keep watching him and he just keeps getting a little bit closer and a little bit closer and a little bit closer. Shouldn't that cause us to think about how I'm living my life? It's like he's coming. There is an end to this. I'm going to give an account for how I'm taking care of my garden. He's going to look at the wall. He's going to inspect it, see how well I've been taking care of it. Going to look to see if I was okay with the weeds that weren't that big of a deal. I mean, it's just a little weed. I can pull that up anytime I want. Next time you look, it's a tree and you can't just pull it up anytime you want. Embrace spiritual accountability. Don't try to avoid it. Don't covet the absence of conviction. Walk in the light while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Because it's a real thing. There always seems to be a more convenient season. But now's the accepted time. Now's the time where we have the opportunity. So what should we do? Folks, we should seek out and look for the areas in our lives that are spiritually less than adequate. We should be taking time to read the Word, say, well, how does my life compare to that? And get it out on the table. It might be painful because you may not want to have to change. But get it out on the table. Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. Because He's coming back for you. There's a judgment that's coming. Be honest with yourself in all of these things. Ask the Lord, Lord, would you please convict me if there's something in my life that shouldn't be in how I'm living my life each day. Lord, if I'm not the light to other people that may need you in a really real way and I'm living in a certain way, Lord, am I sending the wrong message? Is it the appearance of wrong, even though maybe my heart's right, but maybe I could do something different to help somebody else make it in? Or Lord, do I have something in my life that's working away that's going to cause me harm and danger down the road? Lord, please let me know what it is. Lord, if I turn away from it, please don't turn away from me. Please come back and continue to convict me. Because Lord, I want to get it right. Now is the accepted time. Put yourself in environments where your soul can be challenged. If you spend all your time on things that are just temporal and that are passing away, and I'm not preaching that we, you know, go in a corner and play a harp 24 hours a day. I wouldn't really be into that myself. There are activities of life that, you know, that we go and we do, and it's okay to entertain ourselves with things. But if your life is consumed with things that are providing no spiritual value, or they're eroding things that have been given to you that are precious, that's truth, that's right, that's pure, and you're allowing a barrage of things to keep coming into your life and what you look at and read and listen to and go and present, all those things, which is how we live life. That's the flesh, that's the world we live in. So it's applicable. Because all of us do those things. That's what takes up the time in our day. We all get up and we get dressed. We all go to work. We all manage the little bit of time that we have. And we're making decisions on how we spend our time. And then all of a sudden the day's over. Yesterday went really fast and here we are today. It's gone. It's in the history books. Today's going to be the same way. And pretty soon you're going to have a book of your life. When you start flipping through those pages, you're going, well, how did I spend my time? What does the Lord see when He reads the book of my life? What is He reading? What is He seeing? If He wants to know what's important to me, what did I tell Him was important to me by how I spent my time and by the decisions that I made? What is he seeing? I want to know what he's seeing. I want to know what he thinks. And it might hurt, but I want to know it. I want to place myself in environments and in places where I can be challenged. You're not going to become a better basketball player by playing basketball with the kinder team. Is it going to make you better? You're not going to grow spiritually stronger by just embracing and listening to teaching that's easy on the ears. That isn't going to make you any stronger spiritually. Ask the convicting Holy Spirit of God to deal with your heart. Put yourself in environments and focus your mind in and open the scriptures and read and ask the Lord to challenge you in your life. That's why I come to church. That's why I live this way. Would you go out to sea, reed shaken in the wind, man clothed in white raiment? You just out there searching to see what it looks like to live delicately? Why do you come to church? Why are you here today? This is why I want to come to church. Because I want to be sobered. I want to be challenged. I want to be awakened. Where are we this morning? Where are you? Do you carry a high sense of spiritual accountability? Do you look for ways to get around being spiritually accountable? Are we quick to brush past conviction when it touches something we'd really just as soon not get let go of? You'd rather just be left alone in those areas. When the Lord calls my name, I want to be found awake. I want to be found spiritually alive. I want Him to come find me attending to the responsibilities that I have for Him. And if I do that, I'll have the best of both lives. I'll have two whole feet to walk on. The mice and the rodents won't have eaten away at things they didn't need to be eaten on. I'll have noticed. They first start to tap on me, they're gonna be met with resistance. I'm not gonna step out where the lions dwell. I'm gonna embrace some safeguards of protection, not because that's the thing that saves me as much as it is. It helps remind me and keep some separation before the thing that can kill me. I'm interested in that because I'm trying to get to heaven. Yes. Let's be challenged today. God is on your side. Yes, He is. He's not trying to crush us, make your life miserable, make you give up everything that brings you joy, and just take your whippings now so that you can, get the reward later. He's trying to give you the best of both lives. He's trying to keep you whole. He's trying to keep your life together in this life so that you don't end up mangled and hurt and things get into your life that you didn't see coming. God's on your side. Let's let Him help us. I appreciate your attention this morning. Let's be challenged in our souls to be spiritually accountable. Amen. Maybe we could stand and sing a song.